Matt Walker, Pittsburgh Gauntlet Podcast number 418. That's a big number.
It is.
Yeah, I don't think anything happened this week. I got no witty banter to come up with.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
No witty banter?
No, it was a weird day. Weird day. We'll get back to that.
We're weird guys.
I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Pat.
Brandon.
Spencer.
Okay. It was just a really light week. It was an off week for Marvel, hopefully the last off week for Marvel. And DC made a mistake and didn't send any books this week. Well, not a mistake per se, but when they set up their new distributors, they thought they could announce it on Friday and have all the orders go in on Monday. And unfortunately, since they did not give a heads up to the new distributors, they couldn't open 2,000 new accounts and take all the orders over the course of a weekend.
Slackers.
So they took an extra week, which just basically meant we got nothing this week and we get double next week. Woo! So, yeehaw. What does Marvel say?
Can't plan these things.
That is correct, sir. So, fun day of not a whole lot going on. Slow day, small invoice. It all kind of works out, but not the exactly the way you want to start July with a rounding thud. I almost did as much yesterday. So, I don't remember any news off the top of my head. Anybody have any news, anything?
DC didn't do anything to make you pull out the remaining amount of your hair?
Nothing specific this week, no.
What about general?
No. No, I can't think of anything that happened this week. In general, they're just, yeah, they're see this week's invoice.
Which one?
No, I mean the one for today that had no DC product on it.
Well, I thought you meant next week where you had two invoices.
Yeah, well, next week is double, you know, because, again, Pat?
Can't play these things.
That's correct. So, hi, puppy. Yeah, so I don't really have any news, any rants. Anything to really talk about? I don't know
any
if you
questions?
Could. We did have a couple questions.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Like, where are the questions? Okay. We have. Okay, from James. We have just saw the list of every issue in Joker War. How many people actually get all of them anymore? Actually, quite a few on Joker War. It's not a ridiculous amount. It's not the 80 books that were originally in Empire. It's mostly Batman. You know, it's all Batman family books.
Yeah.
It's not all over the place.
Because so, I bet there's people who get just every Bat family
book. Right, yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, it's probably adding more to Batgirl and Nightwing than I normally have. But, I mean, in Detective's about half a Batman, but still. And what about the number of people that are reading a particular title but skip the tie-in issues? That doesn't really happen. If you're getting Detective, you're going to get them anyway. Most people normally don't skip because they don't want to have a hole. So that I've never noticed to be an issue. And then Nick asked, what is a good Black Adam solo series? Well, that Black Adam solo series they had years ago, I think it was written by Tomasi, drawn by Doug Mankey.
Yeah, it was like a mini.
Yeah,
or a
that was outstanding, but it was only like five issues.
Is that the one where he doesn't know his word?
I don't remember that.
Isn't there one where he has to like?
I thought this one tied in with like Final, not Final Crisis, the one before that, Infinite Crisis. It was around. It was after that. It came out when I was open. I don't remember. I just remember really liking it because I really like how Doug Mankey draws Black Adam a lot. I don't remember the story, but I remember really liking it. I can't really think of another Black Adam story.
There was, when they did, either right during Blackest Night or something, there was The Power of Shazam, and it was like a one-off, because the series had been canceled for like 2 years, and it was a Black Adam story. Mm-mm.
What they did there, that was kind of a neat idea on their part. For Blackest Night, they did a one-shot of canceled series, and it was the next issue, but it tied in with Blackest Night. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a neat idea. So it might have been,
And that was a Black Adam story.
And see, there was that World War III story during, was it 52?
Yeah.
Or count
yeah.
52?
That World War III, because they forgot to wrap up that story, and they ran out of issues, so they had to do a little addendum.
the Black Adam story in 52 is really
good. Yeah, that was really good.
It's not a solo series, but...
Was it during the beginning or the end of the John's JSA run where he had Adam in there for
it's kind of in the middle, I think. Yeah.
Those are pretty good.
That was a good one, yeah. And then, two, what is an underrated Marvel or DC series you think more people should read? Doesn't have to be currently ongoing.
I don't know that it's underrated, but Fractions X-Force is really good. That was from a couple of years ago.
Fractions X-Force? I don't remember Fraction doing X-Force.
Or no, Remender.
Remender, yeah. Oh, yeah. Remender's X-Force is really good.
Remender's X-Force.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fraction did Uncanny, and I didn't care for it. Yeah. I think it was either his or Gillen's. One of them I did not like. Wherever they had Mr. Sinister flying off in a celestial head, I did not care for that.
Remender's team was really cool, too. Yeah. Because you had Deadpool, Wolverine, Phantom X, Psylocke, Archangel.
Yeah, that I remember I was really liking the prior X-Force run that was by like Kyle Yost and
Higgins,
I forget the other guy.
Yost and
but it was drawn, a lot of it was Clayton Crane, is very X-23 focused, and it was really, really good. And
Kurt
I was
Cal.
Something like
I don't
that.
Remember. Yeah,
he,
I don't remember.
He wrote a lot of stuff together.
Yeah. I just remember being really disappointed it was ending because I did like it so much. And I was like, why do you have to start again? And then, but Remender's run was excellent.
That was actually one of the first things you recommended to me.
Okay. It was good. It got a little weird when it got into the Captain Britain stuff. It kind of lost focus during
that. Yeah, like in the middle. But then the stuff with going back in time to kill Baby Apocalypse, that got really good.
Yeah. So, no. Yeah. It's a winner. Yeah, I'm kind of blanking on
X-23.
Never read any of that.
It's been a good. Well, it was All-Star Wolverine, right? And that was Tom Taylor, I think. And that was good.
I know he did a lot of X-23 stuff there for a while.
And then Mariko Tamaki's. It was just like two arcs and that got canceled, but that was really good too. Kids don't read a lot of Marvel.
I feel like we've been talking about. I don't finish a lot.
And it's the thing where it's like I feel like a lot Marvel's like key storylines are like very well known because they made half of them into movies.
Right.
Yeah. I was gonna say there's a lot of the stuff that like you know Spider-Man, the main X-Men stuff like that's you know. Yeah. The past couple, like, Moon Knight and, like, Punisher series, like, those, like, little guys have had some decent runs. They just can't seem to last for more than, like,
12 issues. Yeah. Which is actually okay, because then you get a different writer on there who takes a different take. I'm fine with that. I stopped reading a lot of Marvel stuff because you get into a story, and it'd be really good, and then they go do an event, and it, quote-unquote, ties into an event, and derails everything. It got to the point where I just didn't want to read it anymore. So, like, I'll read the Moon Knight stuff, I'll read the Punisher stuff, because they don't tie those books in.
Yeah. I feel like the double shipping helps. Like, the Marvel books that I read that are double shipped, I enjoy so much more than the ones that are monthly.
Okay.
Because it's like, you still get a little derailed, but like...
You get through it quicker.
You're through it fast.
Well, that Tom Taylor's Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man series that ended a while ago, that was a pretty good, I think it was like 12, 13 issues, like just, you know, little thing, but all those are really good, just, you know, Spider-Man stories.
You know what I liked was right after Johnny Storm died, they did FF.
Oh, yeah.
That was a pretty fun book.
My pick for something recent is Thou Age for Hero from DC. If you want something really different and a lot of fun, hopefully it comes back at some point after 12 issues.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Just the way everything's going there, who knows what's going to happen. I'm going to have to revisit. I'm just blanking right now.
Yeah, I mean... you know, we could always say things like Snagglepuss, or, you know, they
wasn't it Marvel?
Technically DC. No, he said
Marvel.
DC. Marvel.
No, it was either. Oh,
it was DC.
Either.
Okay,
yeah,
I just
said
Marvel.
Okay, Mr. Marvel, slow down. Jeez.
I mean, we all really like Mr. Miracle, but again,
yeah.
that wasn't underrated.
No, no. That's it for questions.
Oh man.
So
I'm not like kaiju battling anybody.
No,
this week?
No, sorry, no, no. You taking down Josh? You know that was all anybody really needed.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So Spencer.
Right.
You always have your notebook.
Yeah, I
got all your stuff.
The
ears. It's just hurting the back of my ears.
Dead Body Road, Bad Blood. This is it's technically kind of like a sequel to the Dead Body Road series from a few years ago.
I was hoping it would be,
but. Well, it's not a sequel as in, like, it doesn't really have any of the same characters, I think. But I think it's just his, because I saw a thing where Justin Jordan, the writer, Todd, was talking about, like, he's kind of using that as just, like, a venue to tell, like, different, like, crime stories. So there's, like, it opens up with this, he's either, like, a drug dealer, mobster kind of guy, who is looking for these two people who was supposed to be protecting somebody, but they messed up or didn't show up, so he's after them. And that one of those people's sister, who used to also kind of be like in that kind of lifestyle, but now just owns a bar and just trying, you know, to, you know, put that stuff behind her. And throughout the whole issues, there's three or four people that kind of, like, police, like, detectives, or even crooks coming up and asking her, like, hey, you know, where's your brother at, you know, and she doesn't know, she hasn't talked to him for a while, and the issue pretty much ends with after one of the criminals come looking for her and tries to, like, kidnap her or whatever. She's able to stop him, but it causes, like, a fire at the bar and burns it down, and she's, like, walking out, gonna go look for her brother. But it was a pretty good, like, crime story. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, 105. They're all the Turtles and their friends are at a rock concert in Mutant Town. And, you know, some of them are really enjoying it, like Mikey's having a lot of fun, Leo's actually kind of surprisingly kind of just, zoning out there, kind of just, you know, enjoying the music, Raph hates it, Donnie's, like, a little overwhelmed, but, like, they're all kind of having a good time, and then afterward, like, after that, they're all talking, and they decide that they're gonna start up their own kind of new clan. They're gonna start up the Splinter Clan to, you know, to honor their father and stuff. And they're, like, officially letting the new Toter and Genix in. So she's kind of, like, officially a part of them now. And then Ralph's girlfriend, the fox, Apollo, she. They are letting her in now, and she has.
I'm supposed to call women foxes.
Well, I mean, that she's technically.
What about Megan Fox?
Well, that's her name.
Well, she's an actual fox.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So she gets a green bandana, and, like, they start up this, like, this dojo, and just kind of, like, you know, just train these kids to, you know, just, you know, basic, you know, be able to protect themselves and that kind of stuff, just trying to help out the community. And, there's this one, she kind of looks like a little albino turtle, like just a little kid, and she's upset because some of the other kids there are picking on her and telling her, you know, oh, you're too small, there's no way you'll be able to be a ninja, you know, like, oh, so we're going to be cool, awesome ninjas, and you won't be able to, you know, do anything because you're all a little tiny and weak and all that stuff. And after getting a pep talk from the turtles, you know, that makes her feel better. And but the issue ends with like this portal opening up. It seems like from the future where that portal is going up is, you know, come back to our time now. So I don't know if she's coming back to help them or coming back to go after them. Yeah. The Flash 756.
Mike, who's your Flash buddy?
Yeah.
He bailed on us.
Yeah.
I know. He doesn't love us.
Nope. So this, most of this issue is how, cause like last issue, Reverse Flash revealed that he was gonna start his own Reverse Flash family. So that's a good part of this issue is him going over, like, he gets, Grodd and, Captain Cold and his sister, and then, Trickster, I think they get Trickster out, and then, the last one they saw that, one of the last people they need, he's trying to get out, but he needs the Trickster's help to get him out, is Total from the Flash Year One story and all that stuff. And then, so while that stuff's going on, Barry is, you know, trying to do his normal thing by, pushing Kid Flash and Iris and everybody away, because he's worried that Reverse Flash is gonna, you know, come and, like, kill them or hurt them in some way, so he's trying to do what he normally does and, you know, push them away and try to get them to leave, but they're not leaving this time, which was, you know, kind of cool, and then, it ends with Reverse Flash, he's in the future, getting, what it looks to be his last recruits for the Flash family, which are the, what are their names? Like the Tarot or Tornado Twins, Barry, and Iris's kids from the future, mm-hmm. and Bart Allen's parents, which it seems like in this version of, at least this time I am in this version, seem to be bad guys. So that was pretty cool, and it's kind of cool seeing all these different kind of threads kind of coming together in these last, because I think there's like this story arc and like one more story arc before Joshua Williams is done with his run, but yeah, that was pretty good. I think that's it. I think
okay.
We're some other stuff.
Dave.
I'll start with Marvel Snapshots, Captain America.
I read that.
Which is
sold out.
Which is the first Marvel work by Mark Russell.
Huh? That's all you got, Pat?
I didn't realize that was his first Marvel work.
Okay.
Huh.
This is.
See?
This is a story of. A kid who lives in the South Bronx, Felix Waterhouse, when a mad bomb goes off in his neighborhood. This was actually, I looked this up, but this was a Captain America story,
mm-hmm.
193,
yep.
Which I forgot
Kirby.
About.
Yeah, I think.
So, mad bomb goes off in his neighborhood, and he works at an electronics repair shop with his... with his dad, and because of the mad, you know, people turn on each other, and there's destruction, and he can't make ends meet. His dad can't make ends meet with the hospital bills, and people aren't getting stuff repaired, so the kid can't go to college. Felix can't go to college. So the next day, guy comes into the shop. He's from Advanced Idea Mechanics, and offers him an internship there. And he's really smart, and he kind of gets everybody's attention there. And he discovers that they're building a mad bomb. At
a giant one.
Yeah. So he sets out to sabotage it. I don't think Mark Russell, this is really relevant to current times. I saw Mark Russell on Twitter say he didn't expect it to be this relevant. He was kind
of. I've seen that about a lot of stories recently.
I know, but it was a great job by.
Yeah, it was really good. You you left out the one thing that stood out to me though was the baby getting stabbed.
Yeah, that was really horrific.
That's a hallmark of Mark Russell work.
Yeah. So, yeah, like when Mad Bomb causes a mother to, like, her baby goes crazy and she also goes mad.
Okay.
Stabbing him. So.
Yeah, and the end stood out to me, too, with Captain America and Falcon and Iron Man come to clean things up, and Captain America has a line about how sometimes a broken world doesn't need heroes, it needs repairmen. That was a great line. Another great Mark Russell line, I thought. Ash and Thorn.
I read that.
Number one. New series from Ahoy. And I'm sure this can be best described as Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets the Golden Girls. I'm sure they were...
An odd couple.
The creators were thinking about this, because...
Well, she's the chosen one to stop the apocalypse, but all of a sudden the lady shows up and is like, you're old.
She's like, is your granddaughter? She's looking for the granddaughter, and then, no, you're it. You're the person I have to train, Lottie Thorne.
So what you're saying is if they make a movie, they have to cast Betty White then, right?
Well, it looks like Thorne is African-American.
Oh, it'd be more like Whoopi. Got the same hair as Whoopi.
Yeah. Same hair as Whoopi. Yeah.
I don't remember Whoopi Goldberg being on the Golden Girls.
Well, Golden Girls didn't have any.
Yeah. Yeah, there were no minorities, which is kind of weird considering it's in Miami. Just saying.
And her name's Lady Peruvia Ashington. She shows up and says she's the guardian of Earth, which is located in Realm 3, Sector 9, and she has to train her to save the world. And there are some future scenes of her training, you know, against battling some giant insectoid monsters or something. But I enjoyed it. I mean, it has a sense of humor about itself, which all the Ahoy books do. And I think that's the way to work this book, is with a sense of humor.
Yes.
Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, number 11, the penultimate issue. Starting to wrap things up a little bit with Jimmy relocating to Gotham City because there's a hit out on him. His brother Julian's trying to kill him for his money. But this issue deals with Jimmy. During this series, Jimmy married an alien princess. And another alien warlord has come also for this princess, and he has to get some people to help him in the battle. And there's an alien. I don't want to put you on the spot, Colin, because I had to look this up.
Okay.
But do you know the alien race known as the Scrub? Mm-mm. They were in Superman versus Muhammad Ali.
Oh, I don't know if I've ever read that, to be honest.
I never read it, but Matt Fraction brings them back in this series. It's weird because I'm like reading it, and there's like a big place with all the scrub aliens are gathered. And one of them has a Terry Bradshaw jersey on.
Okay.
And in another scene, one has a Pirates hat on. Pittsburgh Pirates hat, you know, circa 1979 with the Stars or Stars. And it's just like, I have to look this up because something's going on here. I don't know, like, if that was getting a 70s vibe from them. But there's a big battle, and all these characters come back and have been in the series to fight. Metamorpho, Dexstar, and all these like weird things in the back, even the Philly Fanatics in this one, which was really funny. So it ends with Superman. He's finally going to get to the the bottom of this and how Lex Luthor is involved and all this Jimmy Olsen stuff, and Superman makes this meta comment about it's time for this nonsense to stop. So we'll see what happens in the next issue. And I'll mention one more. I read That Texas Blood.
Okay.
I read that.
Number one, new crime series from Image.
It's by, the art is by, what's his name? Is it Jamie Phillips? Jackie? I don't know what it is. It's the son of John Phillips.
I have it written down here. Let me look to make sure.
Jacob Phillips.
Jacob.
So he's the son of Sean Phillips. I'm pretty sure this is his first major release.
Yeah.
As a penciler.
Mm-hmm. It's the first writing. The writer is Chris Condon too. That's his. Yeah. It's his first work, published work. Crime series takes place in Texas. It didn't. It was pretty good. I don't know if it grabbed me enough.
I don't think it's a crime series.
Okay.
Because it's. It has a to me, it's like No Country for Old Men mashed up with Walking Dead.
Okay.
Like, that's the vibe that I got from it.
Hmm. Okay.
So you've got your sheriff who's like, he's 70, like it's his 70th birthday. He wakes up and he's like, I don't feel any different. And we learn that it's his birthday, and he's got to, like, his wife's nagging him about getting a casserole dish, so he's like, He's at work, and he's got to, before he comes home, he's got to get the casserole dish and stuff like that. And, I don't know, events happen. He goes to see the woman who has the casserole dish, and she won't let him in. She won't open the door for him. And, he sees that, there's like a beer can outside, or maybe it was in the trash.
Yeah.
So, like, and then from some other, like, I think it's like discussions throughout, you kind of learn, oh, he's drinking again.
He goes to the convenience store and talks to the clerk there.
Yeah.
Kind of gets the idea that she's being abused.
Yeah, or that she has been in the past.
Yeah.
But the guy stopped drinking and now he's drinking again.
Yeah.
And then cut to a scene, like, in the desert, I guess. There's, like, were we supposed to know who those two guys are? Because I didn't seem to...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But anyway, there's these two guys who, I think one double-crossed the other kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys gets basically murdered by what looks like a zombie with a gun, right? Like he's like very like undead.
Okay.
In the face, like out of the darkness, he comes in and kills that guy. And then the other guy is... We see that his guts are all spilled out, but he's still alive. And then they go back to the sheriff, and the sheriff sees the guy who's started drinking again, and he has he's speeding by him. He goes to pull him over, and the guy. Like apologizes and then shoots himself. Yeah. So we kind of don't know, did he maybe kill his wife or do something else? Like, and then we see that the casserole dish is in the back seat.
Yeah, he's like, I found your dish.
So, but it was definitely good. Like, I don't know.
I have the same feeling.
I don't want a zombie book. That was, like, because I was, when it was just, like, a crime book, I was really into it.
I have to look at it again, honestly, because I missed the whole zombie thing somehow. But
I looked like a zombie to me.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, it didn't seem like just a...
I like the pace of it.
Yeah.
And at the beginning it says how slow things are in Texas, and that's the way the book was. It was very deliberate in introducing the characters in the story, and you learn a lot.
Through the sheriff's interaction, like with his wife,
and what he
stuff,
does, and he didn't like he's the, he gets a call to about a snake, and he doesn't shoot it, but he just
hits it with a shoveling shovel. It while
that tells a lot about the character.
Yeah, while the And it tells them a lot about the town.
In the town, yes.
Right, because you know, there's a lot of, I don't know what you call it, maybe blight. It seems like the town's very much it's not doing well.
Right.
And, you know, people are falling on hard times, but, and then there's the sheriff who's very, like, old-timey. But, yeah. Okay. I definitely thought it was really good.
I'm going to read it again.
I might get the second issue. I also might just wait for the trade.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah.
But I really like the art, so...
Yeah, the art was nice.
I think he'll get a lot more work.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting his...
Yeah.
His dad's vibe from that art, which I love.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to know kind of how much... Like, is that because he's looked at his dad's artwork all his life and like
oh I'm sure you know
because no. it's not exactly like his dad's
no like not at all
it's different but it's like it's maybe almost like more, it's almost like they're in the same palette but they're different styles or something like that.
A little bit more impressionistic or something but okay that's all I got
man all right Zero Year number two
all right that
so almost no plot yet. The closest thing to some plot movement we got was, like, 11 years ago, a scientist found a body in Antarctica and found out that it had, like, super curative power, like, regenerating powers. Think, like, Resident Evil, almost. And then she ships it off to London because they can do a better job of studying it there. And then we jump back to present day, and it's really all character-driven, where we get to learn more about the Japanese guy who's, like, on a revenge mission, the guy in Minnesota who's been a shut-in and has counted the number of times he's pretty much done anything, including what you're thinking. That's a big number. And then we found out that the kid that's in Mexico, the guy that rescues him, was actually the same guy that had made him an orphan and killed his parents. So, it's interesting. Yeah. Like, I'm enjoying it, but plot-wise, I don't know where it's going because we're two issues in and, like, nothing has happened.
Yeah. I'm interested to see if he eventually, like, all these different characters that we see will, like, come together somehow. Or if it's just going to literally be, like, them just, like, kind of off in their own... You know, maybe some meet up, some don't. Because the main guy who has the fort at the end, we do, because he's, like, on a CV or you know, kind of, like, broadcasting, trying to see if anybody out there. Nobody's responding except, you know, at the very end, there's somebody who, you know, who says hello on the, you know... On the receiver.
Yeah, but I can't imagine the guy that's in Tokyo is going to get to the U.S.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, it's probably not that same person. It's probably somebody completely different, but...
Yeah, maybe the kid from Mexico could get there, but even that's pretty unlikely. But we'll see. Batman the Smile Killer.
Yeah, that
so,
too.
This was supposed to be the coda to Joker the Killer Smile. It really wasn't. It felt like it was supposed to be the start of a completely different miniseries, not like it continued the old one. The only real continuation you get is that the character Ben...
Isn't there very little?
Well, right, but he's back in Arkham and is next, like, in the cell next to who we find out is Bruce Wayne. And in this story, we find out Bruce actually shot his own father. Jim Gordon is his therapist. And Mr. Smiles is the Joker.
Yeah, because he ran this, like, kid show.
Yeah.
When Bruce was young and almost got him to, like, stab himself in the eye with scissors or something. And
yeah. But that's the part that makes no sense, because, like, if he's having the hallucinations that Mr. Smiles is telling him to do all that, why does it later morph Mr. Smiles into the Joker when the whole premise is Bruce is actually crazy. There is no Batman, and he was there. Like, why did he morph to... Like, he could have just stayed Mr. Smiles.
The only reason I could think is just because, like, you know, throughout that whole part, you know, you hear Batman saying, you know, he remembers that this isn't how it's supposed to be, so, like, mm-hmm. as maybe just as, like, a sign to the readers, like, yes, something is...
Is off.
Yeah, something's in a mist, like, you know. Because, you know, with it being a black label, like, that could be, like, you know, if they really wanted to, that could be the end, like... You know, Batman actually is just this crazy dude. You know, this kid who lost it when he was real little. And the end, you know.
Yeah. I mean...
But even the way they end it, it's not even like an ending.
No. And that's, like, I was just really disappointed with it. Because I didn't necessarily like the first issue of Killer Smile.
Yeah.
But as it went on, especially the third issue, I thought it wrapped up nicely. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm in. Let me see where they go with this. It just wasn't great.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's Jeff Lemire. It's not like it's a guy that can't write. I like most of what he writes. So it's a little disappointing.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised here in a couple months if we get to see, you know, another, because, like...
That could be.
Because, like, at this point, I don't see, like, how, like, that story's not wrapped up.
No, that's, it wasn't an ending. It was barely a beginning. Green Lantern 80th Anniversary.
I read that, too.
So it was interesting. There were some good stories and some not so great. I really enjoyed the one where it was the reunion.
Yeah, towards the end, yeah.
And they're all sitting around, and it seems like it's John, Kyle, and Hal, and they're in a bar, and it seems like they're waiting for Guy. And then at one point they get up and leave. And we find him in a cemetery, and Guy had been killed at some point. But they kept basically telling stories that ended in Guy getting punched in the face somehow, no matter what it was. Which is, you know, very much a Guy thing.
Yeah.
So that was good. I also liked the Jessica Cruz story.
That one was okay.
I remember
not liking the Jessica Cruz and the Baz one as much, and I think that's just because I don't think they put... That didn't really recognize any of those creators or anything like that. Like, you know, so I think they were just trying to get some new people some, you know, some work, maybe.
Yeah.
The art on the Baz story was terrible.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, for one of those 80th anniversary specials,
I was kind of surprised by the Geoff Johns story. He just has, you know, you get no contacts. He just, you know, Hal just crash lands. His battery's about to run out. And there's some kind of glitch to where the ring can't tell him where he's at or anything like that. But it has just enough life to give out like three messages. So he sends the first one out to
the core.
Yeah, to the core, like a distress signal, trying to get somebody to save him. And then second one was to Batman, describing like how, you know, how much you made him like a better person and all this other stuff. And then the third was to Carol, you know, just the typical like love you stuff. And as he was finishing, the ring dies and he starts to cough. And then he's like, wait, I can breathe. And he starts to move. And he landed in Vegas.
Right outside Las Vegas.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty funny.
But that wasn't really like a typical Geoff Johns.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of surprised by that. But
it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't bad. And it was like, I do like the last scene where it was like the whole Justice League laughing at him.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, and then there was the first one, which was the controversial one.
I don't think that was, I mean... I know why it was controversial. I had no problem with that story, though. I thought it was good.
Honestly, I read it and then found out that it was controversial and had to go back and look. I'm like, wait, what did I miss?
For those of you who don't know, Alan Scott's gay.
Been that way for a while.
Yeah,
that weird Earth 2, like, in the new 52, so...
Yeah, but they made him gay, and apparently the guy that died when he got his ring was also gay. His mom knew, but kind of told him to hide it,
And then there's when he's dying in the train wreck, like, Alan kind of, like, reaches for him, and that I didn't see until the second time I went through it.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh, okay, I see where it's at. But
yeah, but this...
I thought it was a good story.
I like the Cairo story, too, with the original writer and artist from his run. I thought that was kind of cool.
I don't like Kyle Rayner. I like all the other Green Lanterns. I don't know what it is about. I don't like him. Yeah. And then, like, even... Because he was the Green Lantern in the JLA run back in the late 90s, which was a great run, but yeah. I don't like that character as much.
And I like the guy in the Kilowog story.
Kilowog story.
Kilowog's birthday.
Yeah,
that was a good one, too.
So I think this was, of all the 80s, I think this was one of the better ones.
Okay.
And there wasn't, like, any, you know, like, most of those really seemed to be, like, and my then there's a thing to, like, the next storyline. There wasn't, like, any, you know, thread to, like, try to follow in the next Green Lantern book. Though I'm kind of surprised that Morrison didn't have a story without him, you know, with him doing the title. Oh, and then there was the Denny O'Neil and Mike Grell story, which was kind of just, you know, just kind of cool to
see that. Yeah, is that his last story?
Could be.
Unless he has something as
unless
any
he's
other
in,
one.
Like, the next 80th or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the next 80th is, what, Catwoman?
No, that came out. I think this was the last.
Was this the last one?
I can't think of another character they're going to do it with.
Well, yeah, because they already did Flash, they already did Wonder Woman, they already did
Batman, Superman, Robin.
What about Aquaman?
Nobody can.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
They could do an Aquaman one. But is he 80 years old? I don't know.
I guess.
I think they're going to do more things like this, though.
Well, I know they're doing the Detective 1027 is getting something like this.
Okay. That makes sense. And the last one we'll talk about was Batman.
Nobody read Batman?
No, I read Batman. I really enjoyed Batman.
I didn't like this one.
No?
Really?
Mm-mm.
I can put it down to one page, and it was an art issue.
Where were the eyes pointed?
No, it had nothing to do with that. It was Harley was fighting Punchline. And they're fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting, and Harley's blocking bullets and everything. And all of a sudden, Harley's, like, facing off against Punchline, and all of a sudden you see Harley turn because somebody says something behind her. She turns and Punchline's behind her and slits her throat. I'm like, how did Punchline surprise her to do that? There was nothing in the art to indicate that she got behind her or anything, and it looked like it was like
but
a third.
She turned her body, not her just her head.
But it was like a third person said something and that surprised Harley, and then all of a sudden Punchline had the upper hand. But it was just weird after four or five pages of them fighting. For it to end that way, I just found very odd. I also didn't like the part... Well, the whole thing with Catwoman giving away all of Bruce Wayne's money just seemed really weird to me.
Unless that's like, you have to go through that to defeat, you know, the designer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have to... Because that's what everybody, like, Batman's stopping everybody's, you know, grand design plan.
Yeah, but that particular one just seemed odd that it was like, okay, that... seemed too simple.
Well, and
that she would get tricked to do that.
Yeah. That's a fair.
But I feel like it was like a double, or maybe even a triple cross.
Maybe, but when that happened, I was just like, what?
I think it's a little weird that.
Was she giving all the money away, or is she taking it for herself?
She took it, but then gave him the password, and then he's like, oh, thank you, and handed it to the Joker. It was just like, what? That just seemed a weird thing for her to do.
Well, I guess the thing that I questioned was, with Bruce Wayne having shell companies, like, what's the legality of that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like Bruce Wayne wouldn't do something illegal even to keep himself...
Having shell companies in and of itself isn't illegal.
Yeah. But
there were two more things I didn't like.
But being completely untraceable, like, I don't know, that just seemed like a stretch for me because it was kind of like, it was a little too gray area for me.
Well, I think the bigger thing is, it's, you know, Wayne Enterprises is, you know, a giant conglomerate like United Defense or something like that in the DC Universe.
Yeah. then people would know that you would have subsidiaries.
They'd have subsidiaries, but it wouldn't be a thing where it's, you know, a shell company holding a holding company holding a shell company holding a holding company. Like, people would have noticed that before right then.
Yeah.
When at the very beginning where Bruce or where Batman tells the designer, well, here's what the plan was, and goes through all of it. And then when he gets to the Joker part, he said, and the Joker was just going to kill Batman and Robin. That part made absolutely no sense. I mean, and I know he says later on it made no sense, but it's like that part makes no sense.
Well, then I didn't like
considering
the
in previous issues, they were in there for like hours talking.
Right.
If, you know.
But the designer want
the original designer.
The designer who didn't, who was not, who, not the zombie one, but the original designer, the flaw in his plan was that he wanted the Joker to kill Batman and Robin.
Right.
And Batman was just like, nah, that's not how the Joker is. So, like, that was the designer's miscalculation. So that seemed to make sense to me.
Except for that's also, when you go back to, what, you know, 5 months ago, which was like two issues ago, where they had the dinner party, that wasn't how it worked. It wasn't the designer was giving them the plan. He would say, okay, what's your plan? And then what about this? And then what? So he was having them develop their own plans, not he was having,
he gave
here's
them plans.
My plan, use this. That just wasn't what he was doing. And again, it wasn't going to be he has the Joker in the room for 7 hours and then goes, oh, I just wanted to kill Batman and Robin. I mean, that made no sense.
Yeah. Also, I didn't like the designer zombie thing. That made no, Batman wouldn't have had any trouble fighting that. You know,
does Joker
have zombie powers?
Like reanimation
power. So I didn't like that. And I didn't like all of a sudden that he's then surprised by Deathstroke in the room. Batman wouldn't have been surprised.
You know, we're
by
bitching
that.
An awful lot about an issue I like.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I just, as I was reading, I was just like, huh? Huh? And I got to the end, I'm like, I did not like this at all. So.
But see, I really did like it, though. Okay. I think it sets up a good story.
It does, but I found all the parts didn't add up.
I'm just worried with any time they seem to tell like a big, anybody tries to tell like a big Joker story, that it doesn't seem to ever really land. I think what, like Empire Joker was probably the last one. I haven't read that one. I just heard that it's good.
The Joker is a difficult character because there's so many interpretations of him, so you're always comparing him. Well, it's not Jack Nicholson, it's not, you know, Heath Ledger, it's not Mark Hamill.
Yeah. The Joker's not really doing anything except every once in a while he kinda like hams it up for the the splash page.
I think that's kind of the point though.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want to give away his plan to the readers. So, I get that. And then the punchline.
I really don't like punchline.
She's going to end up being an annoying-ass character.
Yeah. I feel like what's going to happen is Harley's going to be okay, but, you know, she'll probably have, like, a scar, and we'll get, you know, a new outfit that shows off her, like, you know, slit throat or something. And then she'll kill.
Or she'll go back to the high collar.
Yeah, maybe that's. Yeah, I feel like that's just like. She definitely isn't dead.
No.
And Catwoman's definitely
Catwoman's not dead either. Yeah, in the Catwoman splash page, like, I feel like if you're gonna, like, maybe kill Catwoman, like, I think you could do it just more dramatically. I don't know. Because it was just kind of like.
Bang.
Bang.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, well, bang, she. Did she shoot her? Is this a? Is she gonna have amnesia like Nightwing or like?
Or at least show her like there was no blood trails, you know, nothing. So it was like, okay, whatever.
And because I just feel like the next issue they're gonna be like, Batman gave me a Kevlar helmet and you know and that's it. I don't know.
We'll see. I mean,
well, then too, and it also seems like it's not like because he's not going to be on. Like, isn't he gone after this story? Isn't like
I don't know.
Thought I heard something about that. They were getting somebody new for Batman too.
Well, so, that's the rumor.
That was the original
speculation. Yeah, I don't think that's confirmed.
I'd be upset, though, if you gave me Batman as the book to do, and then you have this story that goes throughout, you know, the four books or five books, and that's the only Batman I'm going to write, and it's a Joker story, because you didn't get to build up anything, yeah. You didn't get to add your piece to it.
Well, the rumor now is that Bendis is going to go to, he's going to do Superman in an Authority book or something like that.
Hmm.
So, I think that's all, none of it's confirmed, but I would prefer if he didn't go on Batman.
I would too.
I like the creative themes on the Bat books right now.
You got all the Bat family could have, sit around a table having coffee.
Alfred
for like 12 issues in a row. Yeah.
Maybe that's how they bring Alfred back.
They make him out of coffee?
Well, that or Batman figures out how Joker made the designer zombie and makes his own Alfred zombie.
Nice, nice.
You know, or Lazarus Pits, because we have those things.
Yeah. So. And I wouldn't mind seeing like a little like Lazarus Pit crazed Alfred for, you know, an issue or two. I think that could be... You know, he got that training too, so that could be, you know, a fun.
He knows
thing.
All Bruce's secrets. Yeah. Like that could be, and you know, Bruce ain't gonna kill him, so yeah. How does he stop him? That could be a great story.
Yeah.
All right, that's what I read, Colin.
Let's see, what else did I read? Thor number 5.
I heard good things. Like it introduced a new character or something.
Well, so we've known about the
yep.
The Black Winter.
Mm-hmm.
So in this Galactus, they keep calling him by his first name, Galan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Galan Galactus. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Thor...
It's Mr. Galan Galactus.
Yeah. Galan Galactus. Yeah. Thor is taking Galactus around to charge up by consuming some planets. And Thor's evacuating the people from the planets before, except for the fourth one. Like, Galactus does what Galactus does, and he won't wait, and he eats the planet and kills the people while they're still on it.
Adds a little something. Yeah. It's like seasoning.
It was kind of their own fault, though, because the other three planets were, like, they were cool to evacuate. Even they had some, one of the species was telepathic bears. So they were just bears with antennas.
Okay.
That was kind of cool, but... and then... Later on, you see the bears, like, on Asgard and stuff, which is kind of funny. But anyway, so they both get charged up. Thor's got his, power cosmic, because he's a herald now. And they go to take on the Black Winter, and we kind of learn what the Black Winter is. So...
Okay.
The Black Winter pulls them into this, honestly, it's almost like a room. Like, it's just like it reminds me of the movie The Cube, where there's just like, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
It's a terrible movie, but it's just like a, an alternate dimension. Like, that's a big square room. So they pull him in there, and then the Black Winter like identifies himself, and it's the God Killer or the God Killer. But then it's also all of the other villains from the Thor has faced. So like Loki's there, Malekith, Enchantress. The guy with the flaming head. You know what I'm talking about? He was in Ragnarok. The movie. You know what I'm talking about? The guy.
Oh, from in the beginning?
I can't remember what that guy's name is.
Surtur.
Surtur, yeah. He's there. Even like Apocalypse, Juggernaut. People who.
I was thinking Dormammu. That's why I was confused.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I
have the flaming head.
Nah. Dormammu wasn't there, but like. Basically, Dr. Doom was there, like, people that Thor has encountered before. So, you know, it's apparent that this Black Winter can take the form of anything that it wishes. So it, you know, Thor is talking to this thing, and it's, he says, "Hey, I'm not going to let you destroy my universe." And the Black Winter's like, "What are you talking about? Destroy your universe? I'm not here for your universe. I'm here for Galactus." So, because Galactus escaped the previous universe that the Black Winter destroyed, like Galactus came through and said, "Galactus is my herald. So I'm coming. Oh. I'm coming to capture Galactus, who has basically disobeyed me." And it seems like, oh, Galactus has actually been stealing the Black Winter's, plan or whatever of, you know, destroying the universe. But, so there's that kind of, there's that. So we realize that this whole build-up, Galactus has been lying, and it's, this Black Winter is not after the universe, it's after Galactus. And Galactus got Thor to sort of, like, team up against this thing. And then by this point, the Black Winter has taken the form of Thor, but in, like black and white, basically. Like, he's, like, all in shadow, kind of. So it's, you know, Thor's basically looking at himself, but in the form of the Black Winter. So it is pretty good. Like, it's a little, it's very cosmic, so it's, you know, it has no bounds to any kind of, you know, whatever. They can do whatever they want. So, but yeah, it's definitely good. I think it's, I'm wondering where Donny Cates is going, because I feel like, is this an ongoing, or?
It's supposed to be.
Yeah, because it's, like, a lot of what Donny Cates has been doing, they're just, like, a miniseries, and then he moves on to something else, right? So this feels more like that, where it's just kind of like, oh, here's why Galactus is the way Galactus is, kind of thing. And, I don't know, it's more about Galactus than Thor at this point, at least, you know, to some extent, so.
Do you remember, Spencer, did Galactus, at the end of that Fantastic Four story, did he survive that? Do you remember what happened?
Oh, when he was, like, when he got stuck in, like, Valeria or whatever. Yeah. You know, I'm pretty sure he survived.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Now we're on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, because I think then they used, like, the energy from, like, his herald to feed Galactus so he would leave, so he wouldn't keep the Earth or something like
okay.
that.
Okay, that's
I think. I'm probably wrong, but that's what I think happened.
That sounds right.
I think that's it.
That's it for you?
About,
okay. Well, I got three to talk about.
Woo!
Man. Hellblazer 7. Cy Spurrier is knocking it out of the park with this. This one is John is trying to track down his older self and is trying to track it down, and he has a map of all these locations, and of course it's in the shape of a penis. And he comes across this, like, fishmonger, and he's talking to him, and he notices that he has this necklace, which is this little shell. And as it kind of goes along, it's revealed that this fishmonger has been using the shell to call a mermaid and has been having relations with this mermaid. And then she gets pregnant. And along the thing, when John was talking to the fishmonger, they're talking about monkfish and that the only good part is the tail. And they basically just cut the tail off the live fish. And the guy mentions that the ice, you know, dulls it so they don't really notice it's gone. So then later on, they show John carrying this girl into the fish place, and he's talking to her and everything, and it turns out that she's the mermaid, and the guy has cut off her. Because when she told him she was pregnant, he freaked out, and looks like he cut off her bottom half. So, but this is the first part of a story arc, so there's going to be more to this. But it was interesting, but it's definitely very, very Hellblazer-y. It was good. The art was fantastic, too. Then Bleed Them Dry. This was a new one from Vault about vampires. And it was a little confusing. I wasn't quite following everything. But you're following this, detective. And it looks like the immortals. So basically, like, the vampires are, like, esteemed people in society. And it starts off them checking out there's this been this murder, and as they're investigating, all of a sudden this vampire guy jumps out, and it's about to bite her, and then this vampire partner kills it. And then there's concern, like the chief was all mad about different things. And then later it goes on, and they've arrested somebody for these killings. And then in the interrogation room, the vampire partner is caught, like, draining this guy's blood, and there was a bigger plan, and the girl walks in on that, kind of interrupting, and so then he bites her, so it looks like she's going to be turned, but then this other guy attacks the vampire, and he's, like, this esteemed, like, legendary person. So it was kind of, it was interesting. It just, I think it needed a little more explanation of exactly what's going on, like a little text page saying what society is like might have been helpful. But it wasn't bad. And then Empire Avengers Zero, and I heard that this was really good, so I read it. And it was really good. It's setting up the whole Empire thing, which is a much different story than I was anticipating. In it, basically, Tony, somehow they're living in a dead celestial. I don't know how that happened. An Avengers Mountain or something.
Avengers Mountain.
Yeah. Okay, and he has this dream of what originally happened with the Kree, and the Skrull had put the Kree on the moon along with this other race, and it was like a challenge to see who could build the most on the moon with limited supplies, and it was in the blue part of the moon where Uatu eventually lived.
So it was like, kind of like a Top Chef with a...
Kind of. And what happens is the Kree were able to build this giant city, and that's where Uatu lived. But this other race actually won because all they did was build a garden, and it grew and provided. It starts off with Tony remembering this battle where the Kree have basically decided they've had enough of these peace-loving garden grower people and wipe them out. And then the Skrulls come and they kill the Skrulls, steal their ship and all their technology and go off. And that's what led to the thousand-year war between the Kree and the Skrull. So Kang had taken him there to witness this happen. So he's like, gosh, why did I have that dream? Foreshadowing. So then the Avengers fly off to the blue side of the moon because they something was calling them there. And they get there, and it's they find this garden and everything, and it's really been overgrown since Uatu died and everything. And they're attacked by this Sentinel, which is part Kree, but then part Skrull. And they finally are able to beat it with Swordsman, who had died, but had then been merged with this other race. I apologize for not remembering the name of this race, because it's going to be important. And now, so he's like a warrior of them, but he's like a zombie. I didn't get that part at all, but whatever. But he helped them win. And then it's revealed that the Kree and the Skrull are working together, and they're coming to kill this race again. They're going to try to completely wipe them out because it's like their enemy. And Thor meets a guy from another storyline that's part of this race that's on the moon, and he's like now their grand leader type thing. So it's revealed that the Kree and the Skrull are coming, and they're led by just a figurehead who's Hulkling, who has just been duped into working with them. He thinks he's a big important king, but actually he's just a dupe for them. And like even like T'Challa's like, we had plans for fighting the Kree and the Skrull, but we never thought that they'd work together. And then Iron Man is giving this big rah-rah speech, like, you know, they'll never defeat Earth as long as the Avengers stand. And it's like, and you're looking like these seven people against all these warships coming and stuff, and you're like, what exactly is Black Panther going to do against an entire battle fleet? But so that's where that's leading, though. But it was interesting where, so it's not so much they're fighting Earth, they're just coming to the moon to wipe out this race. So it's not quite the story I thought it was going to be. But that's not bad. But I just think saying Kree and Skrull versus this little race that you've never heard of.
Do you think, like, if people who haven't read that, the Kree Skrull War...
There
like
was enough... There was enough setup in there. Because, yeah, the Kree Skrull War, the actual story, wasn't that great. I remember getting it all excited. I got a trade, and I was all super excited, and I read it, and I was just like, huh. It wasn't that great. Sorry. But that was a really good issue, so I'm interested. And the Fantastic Four issue comes out next week, so we'll see where that one goes. So that was good. But that's all I read. That was five, though. Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm getting better, honest.
How did that SOS book do?
It did. I think it did pretty well. It probably sold about half of the ones they sent me, which was neat. I started to look at it, and I'm like, there's too much there for me to try to plow through quickly.
It was basically just a whole bunch of creators kind of telling their stories and, like, how they got into comics, or, like, the first time going to comic book shops and, like, stuff like that. It was a pretty cool thing.
Cool.
So what's coming out next week?
Next week, we've got a lot of stuff, and this is the first week of two invoices. Woo! So first I'll be doing the regular stuff. Adventure Man 2, that first one sold out. It was really good. Ash and Thorn number 2 is coming out already.
Oh, wow.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer Willow. This is a little mini-series with, or maybe just a one-shot, I'm not 100% sure, about Willow. Doctor Strange is back with number 5. Empire Fantastic 4-0. Everglade Angels. I forget who this one is. I forget who it's by. I don't remember who this is by, but that's coming. Ghost Rider's back, number 7. Marvel's X, number 4. So it's nice to see Marvel coming back. Old Haunts, number 2. This was one I think you liked. This was from AWA. Somebody liked it. It was about the mobsters. Okay, yeah. And that's it as far as specials.
You said you're getting Ghost Rider? I thought that
Ghost Spider.
Oh, Ghost Spider. I thought that was
going to
do a different
one. Hang on. Let me quickly go through because it looks like I forgot, stopped highlighting. Sabrina 2's coming out. Dave. Strange Academy is finally coming out with number 2. That just seemed like forever. Yeah, this is a February book, so that's been a while.
That was a big book, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and then it just kind of, boom. X-Force number 10 is coming in. Oh, and then X-Men God Loves Man Kills Extended Cut. This one's kind of neat. At first I was just like, oh, they're just going to the well again. But it actually has new pages written by Claremont, drawn by Brent Anderson, who did the original. So that's kind of neat. That they were able to do that, which that was like 40 years ago. Yeah. So, yeah, it's the extended cut is what it is. Okay. So that's kind of, oops.
It has Tales of the Black Freighter in the middle.
Exactly. Now, coming from DC, from a different distributor. Now, this is interesting because it's basically a double week because they missed this week. So we're getting Batman 94. Getting Batman, The Adventures Continue, number 2. Batman's Grave, I wasn't sure if this one was going to finish because of Mr. Ellis getting in a little bit of hot water.
Is it going to finish? Or am I going to buy number 8 like a chump?
I'm assuming it's going to finish. I can make no promises. Deceased Dead Planet, number 1. The idea of this one is it's set a little bit in the future. John is now Superman, Damian is now Batman, Cassie Sandsmark is now Wonder Woman, and they get a distress call from Earth. They're on now Earth 2.
Okay.
They get a distress call from Earth 1, so they come to investigate. It's, what do they find?
Nothing good, probably.
Probably not. You are correct. We have Detective Comics kicking off Joker War, or it's another lead-in to Joker War. That's about it. You know, just regular DC stuff. Lots of DC stuff next week. Basically a double
shot of DC.
Yeah, double shot of DC. So
DP of DC.
So that's what's coming. I'm doing Boom this month for the thing. I'm kind of trying to spotlight the different publishers that I think have went out of their way during the shutdown to help us out, and Boom doing all their returnability stuff and extending that even, which was really nice. So we're going to focus on Boom, so I'll do a little Boom display. Spencer was displeased that I did not set up the Boom display for today, but I just didn't have a chance. So that's Tim's job. So I think that's about all we got.
You have regular hours on the 4th?
Yeah, regular hours on the 4th because I have nothing else to do. We're not doing a cookout. We're not going to fireworks, you know, so I'll be here. It's Saturday. I wouldn't want to be closed for a Saturday either. So.
Yeah.
So, regular hours on the 4th, 11 to 7. So that's about it. If you want to get hold of me, it's pittsburghcomics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. Pat, haven't heard from you in a while.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk at you next week. See ya.